How do you get your audience to trust your business, the value of the products and service that you bring, and overall just trust in what you do as a brand and understand and believe that you are a brand, not just another business out there. You are an actual brand that stands for something and provides value to them. How do you do this from day one when they've never heard of you? They've never seen you before. Honestly, this is what influencer marketing is all about. Building a connection with an audience from the influencer's relationship and connection with that audience. You guys grow together, you guys build together. It's a symbiotic relationship, if you will. And today what we're going to do is we're going to learn all about influencer marketing, how you can bring it to your small business, to your entrepreneurial venture, to your startup, the true meaning of influencer marketing, and not the jibber jabber, the stuff that's been thrown out there, the stuff that really isn't real influencers, you know, people who are masquerading as influencers. Understand the ins and outs of that business, how it works, and how you can utilize it as a valuable asset to your marketing strategy going forward. Let's get it. So what's good, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Ambition Show podcast. And today's episode, now let's go back real quick, we've touched a lot of aspects of elements of a marketing strategy, elements of marketing, elements of a brand overall, right? We've gone everywhere from one aspect of advertising, another aspect of overall branding and what it really means, you know, not just having a logo and some great, you know, color schemes and things like that, but the true elements of a brand, how to build a relationship and build value, provide value. And honestly, what people often confuse with marketing, we even talked about sales and business development, you know, that those aren't marketing themselves. They are key important aspects, and they should work in connectivity. They should work as a good relationship with marketing departments, sales departments, business development overall should work hand in hand, but they are not marketing themselves. Now, one piece of marketing that we haven't touched on, it's grown. It's nothing new. And I've said this about almost every topic we've touched on. There is truly nothing new. You know, it's even social media. Social media is just an extension of social networks and of social connections and social relationships, you know, just relationships that we've had for years in different types of physical social clubs and person social clubs and meetups. You know, that's all social media really is a digital version of that. So, you know, nothing, as I say, nothing's truly new. It's just it's a new version of it, if you will. It's a new way of doing the same old thing. With all that being said, we're going to touch on something that, once again, isn't new necessarily, just a new way of doing it, and that is influencer marketing. Now, influencer marketing, a lot of people call themselves influencers nowadays. You know, and you know what I do. I try to stay away from a lot of negativity, try to stay away from a lot of that other stuff, and I definitely want to call people out, things like that. This is not that type of content that we're producing here. We're not on that. We ain't got time for that. We have to focus on leveling up and moving up and making our dreams reality. We ain't got time to beat anybody down, talk trash about anybody, none of that stuff. But you understand what I'm talking about when there's a lot of people out there who call themselves influencers, who call themselves, you know, involved in influencer marketing. It's really nothing of the sort. Because influencer marketing, and I can't stress this part enough, it's an immediate impact, right? It's not posing, it's not modeling. And we're going to actually go into two elements that it's not as well that people confuse with influencer marketing. Influencer marketing is right off the bat impactful. It's immediately an impact from the standpoint of people making decisions, conversions, the things we need as a business owner. We need sales, people. We can't feed my kids with likes, you know. Once that was said to me, and I absolutely loved it. He was 100% right. Client in the past, he said, I know, Aaron, I know what you guys are going to do. You're going to help me out a lot. He said, but let me just make this clear now. I can't feed my kids with likes. And I love that statement. I love that statement. And I was like, that's not what I'm on when it comes to social media marketing at all. But a lot of people think that's what an influencer, they're going to help us get likes. They're going to help us get help. They're going to help us get comments. They're even going to help us get shares. That's all those are good. And shares, don't get me wrong, from a social media standpoint, comments and shares, yes. Very important conversion points. Don't get me wrong. From the standpoint of some social media metrics, right? But at the end of the day, from a business standpoint, we need sales. And that's what real influencer marketing does. It generates attention that will drive sales. It generates attention that will drive traffic, that will drive sales. It generates attention, awareness. And here we go. This is that big point I was talking about from the very top. trust. So, what is influencer marketing? Why it's important? How is it growing? And is it still growing? Okay. What influencer marketing isn't, what people get confused and call influencer marketing. We're going to define that, get that out of the way. And then some basic do's and don'ts from some of the leading influencer marketers, as well as marketing managers and CMOs that are out there, their tips of the do's and the don'ts of influencer marketing when we come back this episode of The Ambition Show. All right, now everybody, now we're back. Now let's get to it. Let's talk about really what influencer marketing truly is and just a basic understanding of not just the industry, but the concept overall. Because I think that's where some people might even miss. They might just miss the general concept of what influencer marketing is, right? And honestly, that's probably what leads a lot of small businesses or startups down the path of not necessarily not only vetting, right, the influencers they're working with in some cases, or the so-called influencers, but also just, you know, just how to measure what's a successful influencer marketing campaign. And that's why I say, like, some people, they take that to the whole, you know, I'm going to get a lot of likes. I'm going to get a lot of attention. I mean, a lot of awareness. I have this person's face, you know, in comparison to my brand or connected to my brand and my business. And that's going to make us a branded business. Let's first get that out of the way. Okay, like I said, we've had a whole episode about branding. Actually, we've had multiple episodes about branding. Go back to those episodes. Shameless plug. No, real talk. Influencer marketing, I don't care who you connected with. I don't care who you connected with. That doesn't make you a brand, right? Even though, look, I'll use a good example of a movie that just came out, right? A movie that came out just a few months ago, Air, which is the, you know, the movie's more so, it was more so about the whole Nike aspect of everything. But how Michael Jordan came over to or went to Nike when he was drafted and, you know, that relationship that stemmed there. Keep in mind, and this is no offense to either party, it was a relationship that made those brands, right? Jordan's execution, Jordan as a person, his value, what he brought to the table made that brand, vice versa. Nike, their value, if you pay attention, especially in that movie, I think that was a great example, but there's a lot more examples. If you look up the history of gym shoes, there's a really great book about it. And the history of how, you know, sneakers and basketball shoes came about and just overall how Nike transitioned and changed that entire industry. That's what created the brand. Those two aspects created the brand. It wasn't so much that, oh my God, he's the number one draft pick. He's going to create a brand for us. If that's the case, every single number one draft pick that puts on a shoe would create the brand, right? If that was the case, then companies like, you know, New Balance, Fila, you know, every gym shoe you can think of, when they catch a number one draft pick, that would have established or created their brand. When it did, those brands were around before, brands are around afterwards. And in many cases, those first round draft picks or the number one draft pick, keep in mind, Michael Jordan wasn't the number one draft pick, he wasn't number one overall, right? So that alone, even to that argument, yet he is quite possibly easily the most well-known player in the history of sports, definitely the most successful, right, to come out of that draft. That's the kind of thing that people confuse. They think, oh, if I attach myself to this celebrity, that, or if I attach myself to this influencer, so-called influencer in some cases, that's going to create my brand. No, you create your brand. The value you bring, the uniqueness you bring, the position strategy that you bring to the table, to your industry, to your customer is the brand. So influencer marketing is a form of social media marketing to one aspect, right? But you can use it in many aspects. Social media is what helped was made it more popular, was what kind of blew it up, because a lot of businesses did not know, and they still struggle with this, on how to master social media. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. Okay. I touch on this in a book that I worked on, which gives me an idea. We'll get to that later. You know me, I should have like a little light bulb icon next to my brain sometimes, you know what I'm saying? A client used to say that. She's like, oh, I know that look in your eye. That's the light bulb going off. Like, yeah. So I just had an idea for you guys. But anyway, the funny thing is that businesses to this day still don't know how to master or really even how to navigate social media to build a connection with customers, with audiences. And there's a reason for that. It's a very easy, clear-cut reason for that, but a lot of people miss this. It's because social media isn't for businesses. I know that might sound like, you might go, duh, but then some people go like, oh, I didn't even think about that. And I remember, like I said, in the book I worked on, that was the thing that as I was researching and going through influencer marketing, social media strategies, that was the thing that just kept coming up. Social media is social. It's hard for businesses to be social, right? Right? Because you know what comes to mind? Corporate voice, professional sounding, professional look, professional. Even businesses that they say, oh, no, you know, we're trying to be cutting edge. We're trying to be, you know, avant-garde. We're trying to be. Yeah, but let me tell you right now, when that contract comes from that maybe airline, hotel, you know, even an alcohol brand, you have to tighten some things up. I remember a conversation years ago with a prospective client. Didn't work out, but it was a really great conversation he and I had, and we're still connected to this day. And the thing about it is he said, you notice how alcohol brands give away a lot of money to social responsibility and charity? He said, there's a reason to keep the feds off their back. No, I'm joking. But no, really, it's because it's all about a look, right? You got to be careful as a corporate brand. Like we've seen backlash with corporations over the past, you know, year or so for various, you know, causes that they were trying to be a part of. And they felt it was the right thing to do in some cases. I hate to say it. In some cases, they also might have felt it was pandering. Or I think it was pandering, but neither here nor there. But at the end of the day, you have to maintain a corporate voice. So when you get on social media, what's the best way to sound? I know it sounds weird. Sound like a real person as a business? Work with real people. And that's why influencer marketing has blown up so much on social media specifically. Influencer marketing, like I said, is nothing new. I just brought up Michael Jordan, even though that's one that's a little different. And we're going to talk about that difference in the next segment. But influencer marketing is when that product and that service is placed with an individual, or it could be a duo, trio, whatever the group is, whatever the party and you know, the entity is, to build on that connection that group entity has with a specific target audience. Of course, the target audience that the product, service, provider, producer is trying to build upon. Now, they could have already had a relationship. And this is why I go back to why some influencer marketing strategies work and some don't. Some people, as I said, use that influencer marketing to say, hey, I want to build a brand. I want to create a brand. I want to make my name with an audience, and I'm going to use this person to do it. And I ain't going to lie to you. If you're that influencer, you better tax the hell out that brand if you can, okay? Because they're trying to ride your relationship, literally. As opposed to if you, and this is really what more brands and startups, especially to start. Startups are different, much different than the major corporations. You know, we're talking about the Microsofts, the Apples, the, you know, way bigger than these guys in the sense of, and so say bigger in the opportunity that they have. Because a startup, especially if you're a solopreneur, entrepreneur, right? I hate using buzz as a trendy term sometimes. Entrepreneur, especially if you're an entrepreneur, you have an opportunity to have a one-on-one relationship with people. You have an opportunity to have a one-on-one relationship with that audience. They see you, right? That's why when you go to these YouTube, and I don't want to say YouTube influencers, because a lot of these guys are YouTubers who love YouTube. And I don't think there's any platform that you see that as much. You don't see that with, definitely don't see it with Facebook. You might see it closer with Instagram, maybe TikTok and Snapchat. But with YouTube especially, you got people who just love the platform. They love to create, and they have no problem promoting and being a part of it. And almost from the very beginning, YouTube let them buy into that. So those YouTube influencers are really great examples of an influencer because their energy shines through how much they love the platform because they're utilizing and maximizing that platform, right? So if you have an opportunity as a product or service and you want to make you might want to make a real impact on that platform as well. You want to make your awareness known on that platform. Like I said, YouTube is one of the best examples of influencers in general of how they brought over a connection of their personal passion, professional passion, into a platform that has hundreds of thousands, if not millions, in an audience that you as a brand, you as a small business can jump on. But it's also a platform, and that's why I said from the very beginning, you should be working on your own relationship on that platform. You should be working on your own relationship, okay, in that area, because you have an opportunity unlike any other. You have the opportunity to build your brand, make your name, build your connection. Once again, as a startup or not, as an entrepreneur, small business owner, you have a better opportunity to do this. Especially small business owners, when you're working in your community. I can't stand this when I hear small business owners talk about, oh, I want to be all over the world. And also, I say I can't stand it because it's like, you're first off, why don't you dominate your market? Dominate the neighborhood that you're in. Dominate the community that you're in. Dominate the county. Hell, Los Angeles County. If you dominate Los Angeles County, we had an episode about a niche. Los Angeles County. Los Angeles County is bigger than some states. There's counties in my home state of Illinois, bigger than some states, more populated than some states, right? One city is more populated than some states. But yet you're thinking, okay, I got to be on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, whatever it may be, and dominate the world. No, focus on that small region. And then you can clearly identify that influencer or those influencers in that region that can help you build on that relationship and maximize that relationship. Not even monetize, maximize that relationship. Monetize it yourself and then maximize it. And that's truly what influencer marketing will do for you. It'll help you kind of go over the top. It's like the cream on top, right? It's like you're making the cake, but the frosting, the icing, the sprinkles, all that stuff, that's the influencer marketing. But the true cake is in the meat of the cake, if that makes sense. The filling, right? You can definitely tell I'm not a baker, okay? Hey, I'm good at a lot of stuff. It ain't bacon. I don't mind that. I can eat that. I love cake. I love sweets, unfortunately. But I'm not a baker, and I have no problem with that. Know thyself. Back off of that sidebar of how I'm not a baker. And if you do this with your influencer marketing, where you, okay, identify the platform, you identify, that's where I'm trying to build that social relationship. Next, you say, okay, do I have that social voice? Right? And that's why I say it, influencer marketing, once again, the reason why influencer marketing is blowing up on social media, especially social media, and that's really where it dominates, is because that's the opportunity for one-on-one relationships. It's putting a face to the brand. And I'm going to leave you with face to the brand, because that leads into what influencer marketing is not, and why influencer marketing should be the second stage if you're trying to really put that face to your brand and you're trying to build that connection one-on-one relationship-wise with your target audience, because influencer marketing is the second stage of that. But remember, influencer marketing is a person who has that relationship and you're building on that connection, who has established that trust with that target audience, and you're building that connection, and you're now building on that connection. You're riding that connection. But your first goal should be to make your own direct line with that target audience. And wherever you can't grow, that's why you level up to influencer marketing. You put that in a budget. You make a tight budget, a strong budget. You stick to that budget. And we'll get more into a little bit more about the strategy, but this episode isn't about making a full strategy. We have a light bulb went off a little earlier. We have a specific gift for you guys for that, to really build on that strategy or to make that strategy from scratch. But next we're going to touch into the do's and the don'ts and what influencer marketing is and isn't, right? And this all can lead into how you build your strategy when we come back. All right. I had to kind of leave it with two. You know, I'm not trying to get sued over here. So what influencer marketing, like I said, is and isn't. Let's get right to it. Number one, brought this up to you, right? I gave a very first example in a celebrity sponsorship. Okay. Little different, right? What people confuse, and this is what we're going to, like I said, we're going to really kind of etch these out. So you have various levels of ways you can work with a person or an entity, maybe it's another group even, and how to build your relationship with the target audience, whether it's, you know, a region, a community, a specific consumer group, right, that stretches beyond one demographic, or let's just say one geographic and one demographic. But there's different ways you can do that. And people often confuse these other forms with influencer marketing. And this also comes from people who consider themselves influencers. They even confuse it. Number one is a straight out, flat out sponsorship. Sponsorship or celebrity endorsement, not influencer marketing. Now, you can have both. That person can be one and the same. But they also can be completely separate. How's that possible? Simply put, if I have a celebrity on a billboard that I pay for them to endorse this product, I am, yes, once again, trying to, in other words, ride their celebrity, their name and their notoriety. But the aspect of them actually influencing a lot of sales because they use the product, because they like the product, because they respect and trust the product, not there necessarily. Not there necessarily, right? That's why when people think, oh, well, if I get this really famous person to hold the bottle, the product, or whatever, this is going to necessarily generate in sales. Not true. That's what an influencer would do. The influencer would literally influence the audience, the community, the people that you're trying to make a move to convert in some kind of way, in some form of conversion that you can measure to purchase your product, download a newsletter, sign up and share, you know, their contact information in a contact box, reach out, vote. Who knows what it is? It could mean so many different things. But that celebrity endorsement doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be that immediate conversion. Most celebrity endorsements a lot of times are just for awareness. And that's why I say, if you're a small business, if you're a startup, if you're an entrepreneur, going for that celebrity endorsement doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get the conversions you want. You might have spent $20 million for this celebrity to be on these posters and everything, and you don't see any sales. Because you're like, oh, shoot, I saw the person who just won an Oscar holding this product in this poster. That's awesome. Now I know that product. Didn't mean I bought it. You know, I'll throw out, like I said, I don't want to get to names too much, because I'm trying to focus just on specifically the definitions and, you know, the clear cut information here. But I'll give you a really good example of recently, a really good example of a person I don't think people thought was going to be an influencer, but became a true influencer. And this is an example of influencer marketing. Like I said, it doesn't even necessarily have to be, it's whatever conversion you want. But of course, you really want sales from a business standpoint. I think one of the clear cut, flat out influencers, Cardi B. The rapper Cardi B, the personality Cardi B. When a person says something, the way they say it, and then millions of people say it the exact same way, that's influential. That's influencer marketing, right? If you put that into a strategy, I think it was the very first episode, if not the second episode of The Ambitious Show, where I gave this example of analogy of a breakdown of what an overall marketing strategy is, right? And basically, if for whatever reason, if you wanted to, if you have a saying that you want to trademark, I don't know why you would want somebody else to say it and it's trademarked by you, but neither here nor there. And Cardi B says that, and she says it enough, and she probably doesn't even have to say it a lot. She says it enough on her social platforms. I can almost guarantee you. And she says it enough on her platforms. I can almost guarantee you. You're going to have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people making that same statement. That's influential. If you paid her to do that and you get some type of monetized conversion from that, a monetary conversion from that, that's a marketing strategy. That's specifically an influencer marketing strategy or marketing tactic. Because now you've got a person who has that type of clout and relationship with an audience to say something, to do something. Millions of people have done it, and now it's brought in some dollars for you. It's brought in some conversions for you. That's influencer marketing. And she's, like I said, one of the few people who's truly an influencer to the core. And you know why? It's because there's a level of people know her. And when I say people know her, I mean the people who trust her, trust her. The people who connect with her, connect with her. And a lot of times that's because she's been very honest, very genuine, very flat out who she is. I'm not going to use that stupid term unapologetic when it comes to this because I just hate that. It's just the most overused term right now. She's who she is. She's honest and with who she is on her platforms, which is why, once again, social media has become the dominant space for influencer marketing. You don't hear people saying, well, wow, influencer marketing on TV, influencer marketing on radio, because it's that social connection. It's that one-on-one relationship, personal connection, because that's what it's about. It's about being social. And I think she's one of the best examples of that. It doesn't mean she doesn't do celebrity endorsements. It doesn't mean that she doesn't do sponsorships. And then we're going to go to another one that a lot of people confuse influencer marketing in. But truly an influencer, I would hands down say she's one of the best influencers. And we're going to do different levels of influencers in a second. One of the best influencers that's out there. Now, here's what constantly gets confused, though. We touched on sponsorships and celebrity endorsements. Cardi B with a soda company. You know, that's a good example of a celebrity endorsement. A famous actor with a tequila brand, maybe a tequila brand that they own, but of course they're trying to bring out their name. They're trying to use their name. They're trying to write their own name to endorse the product. Perfect example. You see Ryan Reynolds and all these commercials for Mint Mobile. Now he at one time owned Mint Mobile. He sold it to T-Mobile. But we got to clap for that dude. Cause that dude, that's Ryan Reynolds. If you know anything about his career and just how that's like a Cardi B kind of thing. It's like, wow. You didn't expect that person to reach those heights. And, you know, that shows you never know what a person's going to accomplish. So never know what they're doing behind the scenes, but mad respect on that one. But that's a good example. Those are good examples of, you know, celebrity endorsements. Here's the other one. Brand ambassadors. Now, once again, just like a celebrity endorsement, you can have both, one and the same. And I'll go back to Cardi B for a second on this one because she was the perfect example of a brand ambassador that was also, of course, an influencer for Fashion Nova, right? And helped that brand explode. You know, they've definitely gone down deflated, especially as more and more competition is out there. Fast fashion and all that stuff has, you know, it's had its big heydays and it's still popular, still big, but nowhere near to the heights it was, you know, just a few years ago for various reasons. But that is a perfect example of how you can connect being a brand ambassador, a person who wears your stuff, it exemplifies and actually represents your brand from a personality level, right? But then you also are trying to ride the fact that they have that influence and that connection with that audience. Now, I will say this, brand ambassadors, I think this is the one that this is the one that gets confused with influencer marketing the most. And this also will impact the way people are compensated. Okay, because if the idea from your influencer marketing campaign is that the person is going to generate sales, influencers might not like to hear this, but that's what you should start working and treat as an affiliate. Honestly, they're paid upon conversions. They're compensated, or there's a portion of their compensation is based upon conversions, because the idea is that they're pushing people, they're driving traffic. Now, that conversion could be anything that you measure. Once again, I say your conversion should be sales in this case, especially. Because you're about to shut out. So you're about to put out some money. But if you put money up front, yeah, the rest of those the compensation should be based on sales. Seriously. Not signups, not traffic, not, you know, it should be sales. Especially, like I said, if you say, hey, 50%, I'm giving you a flat out payment to make these posts, to do these things. The rest has got to come from some type of conversion from my standpoint as a business owner. But. There's another aspect of brand ambassadors, right? Because like I said, that's the influencer marketing kind of that's connected with the brand ambassador, if you will. Your brand ambassador represents literally who you are as a brand. I honestly have always said, and I ran this myself in my own e-commerce business, your brand ambassadors technically should be your contractors. They should work for you, right? The best, and I do mean this, the best brand ambassador programs are usually people who are directly tied to the company. they're employees. They are on the board, you know, they're board members. They are people who help develop the brand from scratch, whatever it be, you know, testers, people who help did research and surveys. That is a great brand ambassador. Because a true ambassador is a person who, think of an ambassador from a country. It's a person who comes from that country. It's a person who comes from that land. It's a person who comes from that organization. It's a person who stems directly from those lands. So they have it within their essence. They live that brand. Not to say a celebrity can't be that person. Not to say, you know, in some cases, once again, your influencer or your influencer marketing, you know, can't live that as well. But brand ambassadors, that's why I love when brand ambassador programs they're attaching themselves to employees. Once now, I'm not saying use your employees. And employees, you should be compensated in some kind of way for this. Because you're doing work. But there are people who literally walk around an office and they epitomize, they live, they breathe the value of the company that they work for. I've worked with every corporation I've worked for. I've always met these people. Well, you know, that person, well, you say that logo, it's not that logo isn't on their back. That logo is tattooed on their heart. And it's not because necessarily they're when people say, oh, that's a company person or whatever. No, it's that they truly enjoy and they truly respect and they truly appreciate everything the company stands for. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you're a business owner, that's the best employee to have. And I tell you right now, all employees should be respected, treated fairly. And unfortunately, most business owners fail to recognize the opportunity to have a brand ambassador. They say, oh, I want to go to influencer marketing. I want to go to celebrity endorsements. What about your employees? Your employees should be your very first line of brand ambassadors because they're the people who reach the customers every single day. I've literally been in companies where they're like, oh, we want to work with this influencer. We want to work with that celebrity. We want to work with that influencer online. What about all your disgruntled employees? Because that creates a false picture. And I tell you right now, that is actually why some influencer marketing campaigns fail. Because a company will spend hundreds, thousands, millions of dollars on influencers, on celebrities, and they're not making sure their employees are happy. So when I call as a customer and I'm like, oh, shoot, I just saw this celebrity on a commercial, blah, 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 blah. And then I get somebody on the phone. What the heck are you calling my company for? Why are you calling me? I wanted this day off. My boss sucks. All this kind of stuff. Like, whoa, wait a minute. That commercial was all wrong. Okay. You get a whole nother picture. You get an entirely another picture. And I, like I said, I'm not trying to point fingers at companies, especially in this negative, anything that's negative here. You know the experiences you've had with companies where you have seen, or better yet, where you've experienced it directly, not just seen it, you've experienced it directly where you've met an influencer, you've met a brand ambassador, and then you meet the employees, and then you meet the managers. Yeah, frontline managers, middle managers, hell, even execs who hate that damn company. They're like, yeah, I'm only here for the paycheck, but I hate everything this company stands for. I'm here for the paycheck, but this company has horrible policies. I'm here for the paycheck, but the culture in this country and in this company is very toxic. But I'm here for the paycheck. What does that say to you as a customer? Why do you think social media is such a great tool for customer service? Same exact thing. The companies that get this, get this. There's some companies that really get this well. That social media is a great platform for connecting with customers. A company that gets a lot of you know, negativity because of pricing, right? I will say it's one of the best companies when it comes to social media, or at least connecting with their customers on social media and making sure they're up to date and they're aware of things. I was highly shocked when I've had my experience, because I've had personal experience and I've seen this online too. Xfinity is very active on social. Taco Bell, very active on social. Dunkin' Donuts, very, very active on social. T-Mobile, very active on social. And the people that they work with as either ambassadors, and T-Mobile especially has some good ambassadors, influencers, influencer marketing, same thing. They epitomize that brand. But that is a core aspect of it. And that's why you want to clearly identify, hey, who do I have in my on my team that could be a great brand ambassador? So before you start spending that money on influencer, first let's look at your brand ambassadors that are right there in your office. Then you can build on that. And you can say, okay, are there maybe celebrities, but are there people who are, and we're going to get into, like I said, the different levels by a really great article. Well, who are the people that I can connect my ambassadors with? Because then you want your ambassadors to be a part of that influencer marketing portion too. Because people can say, yeah, well, that person was clearly compensated for being an influencer. Right. But they're connecting with this ambassador too who works for the company. So yeah, that person who works for the company is being compensated as well. But they both live that brand. And they're connecting, building on a connection with the target audience to showcase that value. To live that value and show how that value can be brought to your life as an audience member. So business owners, think about that first. Who do I have on my team who could be a brand ambassador? And yeah, first look at yourself. But we all know when people co-sign, we know about the co-sign. We know about the co-sign. That's why it's different to say, hey, I'm an entrepreneur. People are like, oh, yeah, that's really cool. I'm a CEO. And y'all know, maybe you don't know my personal feelings about that. Don't call yourself no CEO if you don't have no employees. Don't you dare call yourself a CEO and you have an employee. You're chief executive of yourself. Okay? You're chief executive of yourself if you're an entrepreneur. There's nothing wrong with that. But let's be real. But if you have 2, 3, 4, 5, 100 employees, who's on my team that represents this brand of value? And then look at yourself again before you start going out there. If you don't have a brand ambassador from within your company, why? Take that look in the mirror. Why doesn't anyone want to represent my brand? Do I have a brand worth representing? Because if you don't, you know what's going to happen? When a real influencer, if you work with a real, and I do mean this, a real influencer who has a real connection, can make people move, that person is going to tax you, as well they should. Because they're like, listen, you don't even have a brand. You don't have a specific value proposition that you can take with a target audience, specifically with my audience. Not, they might be your target audience, but they're my audience. They're my relationship. They're my family. They're my community. So you know what? For me to put my name on something, you got to pay. And they have every right to get that from you. Now, like I said, if you're the business owner, you should want some type of conversion from that. But they should ask for a hefty amount, and they honestly should get that hefty amount from the jump. And then you tack along whatever you can towards conversions. Okay. So what are the different types of influencers? I brought that up. Let's go over this. And I said a fantastic article, and I truly mean it. Found this one when I was doing research for the book I worked on, and Anita Lee over in Forbes, she did this really cool article, really basic. And I say basic from the standpoint of it's a quick read. It's easy to consume. And I, you know, pulled from it some really great information, built on it and doing my own research, my own experience with influencer marketing. So like I said, what is it? What isn't it? And I gave you a couple examples of different types of influencers. So as Anita calls out, kind of the four levels, if you will. Right, you have your mega influencers, your macro influencers, your micro influencers, and your nano influencers, right? And there's a way to kind of gauge that, of course, from the level of followers and engagement and measurement. Those are good measurements, if you will, from a social standpoint, because most, like I said, most of this is happening on social for a specific reason and making that connection. But we're talking about people clearly, right, who have a significant level of not only followers, from a metric standpoint, from a measurement standpoint, but followers, people who actually will move for them, right? So if they have 1 million followers, we're talking at the very least, right? 250,000 people are moving when they do something. At the very least, because you're not influential. If you have 1 million followers and only 5,000 people do something, that's not much of an influencer, right? That's a person who has a lot of followers from a social media standpoint, but not a true influencer, right? like I said, don't get it confused with having that celebrity endorsement, just trying to get it in front of people. If that's what you're trying to do, you'd be better off just running ads. Real talk, you'd be better off running really good creative ads that are eye-catching, but that lead to conversions, right? Because at least that money is cost per click. It's going towards something based on a conversion, not just fly out the door here. Let me put this celebrity on this poster and hope for the best. Happens a lot, though. Happens a lot. And I ain't gonna lie to you. Y'all be getting taxed by a lot of these so-called influencers. And I'm gonna get into the other levels and you're gonna be like, oh, damn. Because then you had a macro, right? And she calls out macro influencers. She calls out and saying it's like 300,000 to a million. I would give that actually a little higher. I would say it's actually more like 500,000 to a million. Because on a macro level, you got to think about it. Your average major city, it was about 400,000 or 500,000 people. We're talking about a major city, right? Because in a major city, that's where you can, like I said, dominate that region, dominate your city. Look at it from that standpoint. So if you're going to spend that money, okay, well, I can find a macro influencer that focuses on Boston. Can you imagine? Think about that. Can you imagine if you had, let me do that real quick. Hold on. What if I have $1 for every person in Boston? I just threw out Boston just as a random city, but it's a big city. It's a well-known city. It's a major city, very famous city, right? So there's a reason. There's a method to the madness there. And let's see, population. Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. I'm actually looking it up. Population in Boston. Let's see here. Perfect. So Boston proper, right? Actual Boston. We're talking more than 500,000 people. 666,000. This is as of 2022. So if I have 666,000 people influenced by one person, that's mega. Right? We would think that's mega. But let's leave it in between. Let's leave it at that macro level. Right? For some of us, that's mega, but let's leave it at that macro level. Mega is when we're talking about over a million, well over a million, right? But once again, the metric we're really looking at is the people who are moving, right? Yeah, you have this many followers, but how many people are actually moving for you, right? Then we have micro-influencers. She calls out micro-influencers, people having, you know, up to about that, once again, up to that 300,000, like it's just below that 300,000. So the best part about this is that we know and we've seen there's a ton of people out there with these amount of followers. But what you want to see is movement. You want to see traffic. You want to see conversions, right? So yeah, you can go to somebody, oh, I have 500,000 followers. Okay, well, with the last campaign you did, how many people actually bought products and services based on you posting? How many people actually commented? How many people actually shared? Because when you start seeing the differences, maybe a lot of people commented, but they didn't share. Maybe a lot of people share, but they didn't actually get conversions from, you know, whether it be a sign up, you know, subscription, purchase. That tells you what type of influencer you have too. Because maybe your influencer is a person who has a great connection. They just get you an awareness, which is great. But I can tell you right now, if you like me, I'm not paying no crazy amount of money for awareness. Every client I've ever had that we've done ads with, they'll tell you, Aaron, the first thing Aaron says, if your entire budget is based on awareness, we have a problem. And that's the first thing I always say. I do not want to do a full paid advertising campaign based on awareness. Because I can tell you right now, you can get awareness with a really good organic campaign if you know what you're doing. Don't get me wrong. Yes, it's more tedious from the marketer standpoint. But if you're dealing with a real good digital marketer, they know how to do that. And it'll get you more awareness, just as targeted. And sometimes, depending upon what type of, you know, content you want to produce, it might actually get you better quality leads from that type of awareness campaign. Then Anita finishes it with nano influencers. Now, nano influencers, people below that 50,000, you know, more. We're looking at more like 25,000 mark. First, build your own relationship. This is your opportunity to become your own nano influencer. I know you probably weren't expecting that, but if you're the CEO, you're the owner, you're the entrepreneur, I know maybe some of us don't like social media, and I can understand that. But remember, this isn't necessarily saying you're friends. I'm not saying go out and try to make a friend with everybody. No, nothing like that. But influential, right? To be influential amongst a good group of people. If you have 50,000 customers, that's ideal. That's beautiful. So if you're able to make a relationship with 25 to 50,000 people online where they follow what you do, they comment, they share your content, they connect with you on your social media platform, but you use that platform only for your business, nothing wrong with that. So I would suggest before you run out and say, okay, well, I got to go get and pay a nano influencer, identify, make your own social media strategy. And we're talking, you know what? We'll give you something to help you do that. Your own social media strategy so you can become your own nano influencer. Because honestly, if you're going to put some money into something, your money should be in your paid advertising campaigns. Your money should be in your SEO. Your money should be in the traditional, what they consider traditional, forms of promotion that still get traction. Okay, what anyone says, postcards still work. Mailers still work. Printing advertising and periodicals still works if you know what you're doing and if you're working with the right people. You target it correctly. So if you're doing something like that, I'll tell you right now, work on becoming your own nano influencer. Put that money towards really building out that brand, identifying that target audience, building a relationship on your own. And then you say, well, you know what? Now I got a budget. Let me go get one of these macro influencers. Let me get one of these mega influencers because I have an international product. I know I have now with that organic campaign that you developed and that social media campaign you developed, you've identified your audience around the world. But now you got to reach them and you got to make the move every single time. Maybe you've identified an audience of, you know, maybe even 10 million people, but you're getting into sales on the 100,000 level, right? Maybe 100, 200,000. Well, who's going to help you necessarily really get over that hump? That mega influencer, maybe even just the macro influencer, right? So Anita really summed it up in this. I'm going to put a link to this article because it's a hell of an article, fantastic article, a couple of great articles by her. But this article I referenced for this specifically, like I said, there's a link in the description to this article. Right in the description of this episode. Check her out, Anita Lee. She works with a great agency. They work in influencer marketing, but they specifically work, going back to target audiences focused on specialize in specific geographics and specific cultures. So whom better to pull some information from in regards to influencer marketing? Like I said, she's done quite a few pieces on influencer marketing. So check her out. This is our Forbes article is in the link below. And just, I've touched on a few, but I'll recap real quick before we get to the book of the episode segment. Number one, identifying those brand ambassadors. Identify those brand ambassadors from within. And remember, brand ambassadors are typically from within. If a person's going to epitomize and live your brand, why not a person that works for you? Hell, your freelancers, your contractors, can technically be brand ambassadors. It's a simple conversation. Not just rocking a shirt. We're talking about living the brand, right? Living the brand, okay? Track every single thing and focus on conversions. It's crazy that, just yesterday, there was a major change to a major tool that we use a lot in digital marketing, Bitly. They made some significant changes. It's actually a link about those changes. Link is also in the description below of this episode. So check that out. If you're using Bitly or you're used to using Bitly, check it out. You know, it's very important. It's very impactful to how we track and how we measure our influencer marketing campaigns. You can still take advantage of a platform like that. It's just some things have changed. I focus on sales. That's the conversion you should be focused on, especially if you're a smaller business, an entrepreneur. You need some type of conversion that'll really get those numbers up to where you can stay in business, keep the lights on. Your kids can't eat likes. Sorry, they think they would love to, especially children nowadays with social media. They would love to be able to live off of likes. Although that would be a very scary thought if you really think about it. How to find them though? How do you find influencers, right? We'll give you a tool for that, like I said, at the end of this, of helping in those areas. The major the major indicators and the key performance indicators for your influencers, of course, traffic to your site. Make sure your Google Analytics is up to date. Make sure you know you're using analytics for. Make sure you are actually tracking that. But clicks, conversions and sales and signups, referrals, have a referral link. And you can actually tag that referral link to track the link and the performance of that link. And finally, of course, comments and shares. You notice I didn't even talk about likes. I didn't even worry about likes, but comments and shares. Those are other key KPIs that you really should be focused on when it comes to your influencers. And number one, once again, from the standpoint of an influencer at the level of, I'm paying you such a high amount because you're going to give me some sales. You got to attach that to conversions in some kind of way. Flat out payment, flat payment, half a percentage, yes, but not the entire thing. I'm sorry, I would never do that. If you do it, good luck to you, but I would never do that. I never even tried that road. You know, I've worked actually mostly with brand ambassadors who are contracted to, you know, push product, but they were also living the brand. They epitomized the brand, epitomized the value of the brand, and they were getting paid for that, but they were also getting commission sales. And then I did a lot of influencer marketing for other people, but that was primarily, once again, through a connection of, you get flat payment, but you also get, you know, connection to sales. And if you have a really good relationship, now, it might not work with all campaigns, but my thing is, and we've seen this with some brands, build a ongoing relationship. Have them on retainer. Now, this is when you convert your influencer to an actual brand ambassador, because they kind of become the face of your brand in this case, right? And if you have a brand, this is the Michael Jordan type of thing, right? Even though it was a long-term celebrity endorsement, if you will. And then, of course, the Jordan brand became its own brand and all that stuff. That's where it can become a really good relationship, where you say, well, you know what? Now you've helped us for 20 campaigns or whatever it may be. What brands are you trying to push on your own that you can take on your own? And it becomes a more valuable mutual relationship. It's already valuable, but you bring more value to the table. And they want to be a part of it more, because you can basically, you're helping pushing them, and they're helping push you. It's sad that I don't see enough people doing this anymore. And it's funny how one of the biggest celebrity brands, if you will, which is, of course, once again, Jordan brand, it came from a relationship like that. But a lot of people don't do that enough anymore. A lot of people are more focused, like, hey, let me just hurry and get out and get a couple checks from a brand. Hell, if Nikon wants to back you, if Sony wants to back you, you know, if they like, hey, push our product, if there's a store on Amazon that wants to push, well, you know what? Like I said, with those YouTube influencers, and specifically they're YouTubers, right? These people, a lot of times, are photographers, videographers, actors, comedians, or acting comedian, you know, same difference in some cases. They're producers. They are graphic designers. Well, what if they created a product in conjunction? What if they worked with Adobe? What if they worked with Nikon? What if they worked with, you know, one of these brands that's trying to, hey, you know what, we're coming up with a new camera. We're coming up with new lenses. We're coming up with new, you know, rigs that, and actually a few of them have done this, where they like, we're going to create a rig developed just for you, or connected with you and your name. And that branches off into your own brand, right? How does that help you as a business owner, where now you have that person who's, oh, wow, that's the person that helped them blow up. That's the company that helped them establish their brand, just like a Nike and Jordan. And this is another reason why Nike has grown to the level it has, because other athletes saw that relationship. The sad part is you see athletes trying to do the same thing with other brands, and there's only a few companies that have done that. Very few companies have done that, actually. And Nike is, of course, the leader in doing that, hence why they are. When we say Nike, no offense to anybody else, but we know when we say Nike, it's, whoa, okay. Because you can say a lot of other shoe brands, but when you say Nike, that people do kind of take a stop. Like, whoa, wait a minute. It's just like if you say Apple, you say Microsoft. So, whoa, that's a whole nother level, right? You're in those mega brand levels. You're in that top tier. So keep that in mind. If you have an opportunity to keep a influencer, you know, and you work with them and they become brand ambassadors, it's like, well, why can't we just keep a relationship going where every campaign we launch something, it's with you? And then you even get your own line, or you get your own version, you get your own editions, you get your own brand within itself, and you have equity in that. And you notice I immediately went to equity in that. Because although I'm saying, yes, as a business, you got to make sure they're getting conversions and all that. I don't believe in anybody getting messed over in any kind of relationship, right? So we all got, if we both are winning, ain't nothing wrong with that. If some people who see, you know, they like, I got to get it all. Hey, I don't mind. As I said many, many years ago to a friend, I'd rather have 50% of $1 billion than 100% of nothing. Okay. And I even take it to you. That's an extreme. Okay. I'd rather have 50% of $1 billion than 100% of 1 million. Yes, I would. Because if you're telling me I'm getting 50% of $1 billion, I'm taking it any day. You say, well, yeah, but you can have 100% of this 1 million. Okay, that's nice. But you literally just said I could have had $500 million. Yes, I said it like that. $500 million. I'm going to say it again. $500 million. I'm taking that. Kick rocks. Give me my check. Thank you. I'll take that 50%. So with that, focus on every relationship being successful from both ends. Yeah, we all know how negotiations go. So we both are going to leave a negotiation table a little upset. That's a good negotiation. But that doesn't mean that we hate the relationship. We hate what we get out of it. That just means like, ah, dang, you know, I had to give up a few things to get something. Once again, I gave up 50%. But I'm taking my $500 million in a day. So we come back. We go over the book of the episode and the free gifts I got for you guys.
Hey, let's get it.
Cool, let's get into it, everybody. So, the book of the episode, because we've covered everything else. We've covered what influencer marketing is, what it's not, different aspects of influencer marketing, ways to track it, best ways to pay for it, to compensate those influencers, and once again, what it's not. I'm going to go back to that, what it's not, okay? There's the variations that people get confused with influencer marketing. They confuse brand ambassadors with influencer marketing. They confuse celebrity endorsements and paid sponsorships with influencer marketing. Not. Influencer marketing means I move you. Best book to tell you about that. Full title is The Influencer Code, How to Unlock the Power of Influencer Marketing by Amanda Russell. As stated before, people have gotten it confused what influencers are exactly. Amanda Russell's a true influencer. Person who speaks from experience in the world, in the niche, in the target audience that they are a part of, but gets people to take action. Now, I brought up Cardi B before as a very good example of this. Amanda Russell, different level, or I should say different area, different industries, but it's the same thing. A person who epitomizes. So this is the person that you may say isn't even a brand ambassador to an extent, if they wanted to have that type of relationship. This is a great person from a fitness standpoint and an educational standpoint to be a great brand ambassador. But she's an international fitness, well-known fitness icon. Okay. She's been pretty much, I would say, in the beginning of this whole development of influencer marketing and utilizing social media platforms, especially, and the power there. She was one of the very first. She actually was one of the first few people who, you know, didn't come into it with, oh, I'm an international superstar, I'm a celebrity, singer, musician, all that stuff. She came from an aspect of being real on those platforms and really pioneering influencer marketing. Can't put it any other way. With an extensive online background, extensive online community, and she actually is one of the first recognized from a well-known, actually I take that back, two well-known educational research institutions at UCLA and the University of Texas, fully accredited influencer marketing course. Okay, that's one of the first that I ever saw that was led by a person who actually did this, right? So that's why I say from an education standpoint, from a fitness standpoint, she's a great brand ambassador. If that was something she was getting into and that's something she was going into, she would be one of those people who epitomizes a brand from the product service level and then the value it brings to a target audience. This book was one of the first books that was brought up to me about influencer marketing, because I was looking for books for influencer marketing years ago. That's why, like I said, something I'm going to give you guys a little later on, I had to develop one for customers or for clients. And must admit, I was not expecting it to be, and if you notice, I say this quite often with the books that I suggest, an easy read. What I mean by an easy read is it's easy to digest the information and immediately apply it. Nothing about what we're talking about here on the Ambition Show is about theory. It's application. Application by me, others, people I've worked with. Application. Okay, the article I suggested, a digital marketer that focuses on influencer marketing in, for very specific ethnic and targeted groups, right? Whom better than to go to her article to reference about information about influencer marketing? In this case, you are speaking to one of the best influencers, not a celebrity endorser. Not knocking and saying she's not a celebrity, but not a celebrity endorser. No offense to celebrity endorsers, but if I pay you $20 million to look really great in a picture, that's awesome. How many sales did I get? I'm a business. I need that. Amanda talks about that. How to develop one. How to develop that strategy. But the best part of Amanda's book, if you use it correctly, you can make yourself that own micro nano influencer like I was talking about. If you really pay attention to strategies, you're like, hey, I can identify a good, you know, good potential influencer marketer to work with, influencer marketing firm to work with, influencer marketing platform to find influencers on, or my brand itself can become the influencer. I can become the influencer as the CEO, as the president, as the the project manager, the specialist of my company. You know, if you're in the marketing department, if you have a marketing department, which I don't get this, only a few companies, I hate to say this, I have seen this from very few companies, but only a few companies have still done this, where they go to their marketing department like, hey, who in the marketing department can be the influencer? Oh, you think? Gosh, hate to get my goofy sound, but seriously, I see major corporations with marketing departments spending some serious dollars. I'm going to call out two companies real quick that have actually done this, but they're not turning to their own marketing department. Just say, who are going to be the brand ambassadors and the influencers for our company? And that should make you very concerned in some cases. Because the CEO is a figurehead. A president is a figurehead in a sense, but especially the CEO. The CEO is typically the figurehead, right? So they have to be out there. But they're not necessarily trying to connect all time with customers. That's what made the T-Mobile, you know, the T-Mobile president CEO. That's what made him so interesting. It's like, whoa, this is the actual leader of this corporation all over Twitter, right? That was huge. It's freaking huge. And it was rare. And it's sad that it's rare. But I'll give you one company for sure. Lulu Publications. They focus on independent authors and you know, print on demand books. They're one of those companies that say, you know what, let's go to our marketing department and work with an actual marketer to be our brand ambassador and influencer. And it's worked very well. If you go to their YouTube channel, I'm going to actually put a link in it to their YouTube channel. What I kind of expect. If you have an internal marketing department, yeah. And a lot of these corporations do. Don't get me wrong. Yes, there's a lot of freelance, a lot of contract work out here. Clearly, I know about that. But if you have that opportunity, it's right there in-house. Somebody who epitomizes and loves that brand. And if you can't find that, that's a problem. The Influencer Code talks about that. When you're developing those strategies, you can take that step back and say, whoa, wait a minute. We got those three people right there. We got the people in this department. And once again, I'm not talking about using people. I'm talking about building a relationship to somebody who truly believes in the value of the company. And you're damn right, you better compensate. I'm not saying just say, oh, you know what, you're making that salary and that, but you're still going to make all these posts on social media, right? No. They need to get something extra out of that. Because they feel they're not being used, they're being valued. Hell, even if it's an extra couple vacation days, man, something. Send them to Greece. I just pulled the country out of my head. I don't know. Send them, you know, a lot of people want to go to Greece. Go to Greece. You want to go to Mexico? Go to Mexico. And while you're there, post, please. Use our products. Post about our products. A lot of hospitality brands are really focusing on doing this more, which they should, especially hotels, right? And it makes more, and it makes perfect sense, because if you have hotels and resorts, well, duh. But at the same time, a lot of times they're still pulling from other departments. They're pulling from other worlds. Why not your own marketing department? So, Influencer Code by Amanda Russell. Great book about this. Developing that strategy. Quickly identify who those potential influencers are and how to develop a strategy with them. With them. Not around them. Not you own them. With them. It makes it easy to develop a plan from the jump. And, of course, we have a link to where you can purchase that book in the description of this episode. Support the show by using that link to purchase the book. Every time you use those links, that helps us out and part of our work and sponsorship with Amazon. So, said I had a gift for you guys, and I thought about it earlier. I was like, one gift ain't enough. Let's do a couple. A couple years ago, had two clients that were really trying to develop their own brand ambassador programs and influencer marketing programs. Now, I had much experience in, especially in brand ambassadors, from working in my own e-commerce business, my own e-commerce store, and I worked with influencers for other clients. But I felt it was something that needed to be spelled out a little bit more in depth, a little breakdown, you know, word, but easily to consume, easily to absorb, just like I said about the influencer code. So I created an ebook just for them, a training book for them, if you will. But it doesn't read like a training per se. It reads more like just an actual book that you can just sit down and read and consume and take a step-by-step guide. That's free for you guys. If you go to the website, theambitionshow.com website, you can download the ebook for free. And that will give you a step-by-step, straightforward to the point of influencer marketing. Use that in conjunction with your influencer code. Because like I said, with the influencer code, that will help you identify, well, do I go to this influencer? Do I go to this platform? Do I work within? Do I develop a brand ambassador program? With the ebook, once you have an identified, okay, this is how, this is the path I want to go on. With the ebook, you now have a step-by-step guide in implementing the plan. Because a plan is great, but it means nothing without implementation. It means nothing without activity. Implement the plan. Work the plan. Work the process. That's what that ebook for you is going to be. So you go to the website and you can download that ebook for free. From this episode, use the link and you'll be good to go. Also, a lot of people, once again, from that brand episode, and it was a great episode, came back, oh, I want to, you know, redo my look, my brand. Because one thing you want to keep in mind is that, of course, when you're going to somebody, especially even if it's influencer marketing, I would say from the brand ambassador standpoint, especially, you want to be proud of what you already have established, right? And maybe you want to change your logo around. Maybe you're still in the works of coming up with a color scheme. Maybe you're still in the works of coming up with wording and text and font and all those little aspects of it. So have a special offer for you guys, special code, but you literally have to use the link only from this episode. So if you use the link from this episode in description, you'll get a discount on a full brand kit. Now, when I say a brand kit, I mean a full brand kit. I'm not talking about just a logo. If you don't have a logo, the logo can be included. If you do have a logo, just share the logo. But we're talking everything from logo creation, font type, typography. Hell, we'll even get down to the point of, if you don't have it, we can help you with it. Slogans. And I'm going to take it to one more stage, which a lot of brand kits, a lot of brand offers will not offer. If you don't have a fully mapped out, or which is a written out mission statement, can help you with that as well. And that's all part of the offer. So you'll get 25% off of that offer if you use the link that's in the description. Okay. So everything from logo creation, typography, font, color palette, color scheme, social media kit. So your social media icons, you can let us know which platforms you're focusing on. If you're focusing on 10 platforms, you're focusing on, you know, one platform. It's going to be hard to focus on 10 platforms. I can tell you that right now. But some people, they say, well, we want to start here and transition here. That's awesome. This is not a brand audit, so I'm not getting all into that. What I'm just saying is that whatever platforms you say, hey, Aaron, we're focusing on Snapchat, Instagram, and Twitter. Cool, got you. So you're going to need the banners for that. You're going to need the icons for that. You're going to need the, you know, the ideal, the ideal scheme for your reels, for your stories. Got you. Even help you with, you know, some things that should be put in some of your overlays if you want to do those. So all that's included in that brand kit. Make sure you use that link, though, because if you use the link and you follow the instructions that are in the description of this episode, you're good to go and you'll be able to get that cracking right off the bat. So you get a free ebook. Nothing you have to wait. If anything to be sent to you in the mail, it's going to be right there. Your email is going to be right there waiting for you. Free ebook to help you create that marketing strategy right off the bat to work with your influencers. You can get that done in one day. That's the way I've designed it, right? Because I wanted to summarize it, make it really easy for the client and customer to follow. And I was like, hey, this is a really good training. And this can also help people in the future that can make their own. So why not just make it as an ebook? And then also you get that exclusive offer. Also take the time to download, to purchase and download the influencer code. You can get it from Audible. You can get the ebook version on Kindle, or you can get it printed and sent to you. So whichever version works better for you, that is a great tool to start right off the bat and just understanding, you know, how to identify which form of influencer marketing is best for you. Because it could be, like I say, it could be brand ambassadors, could be, you know, celebrity endorsers, wherever your budget may be. And this also helps you with that too. That's what the ebook is for, to help you with the creating the execution of the budget and compensation. So we went over it. Influencer marketing for startups and small businesses. That's what this is all about. Understanding, kind of getting away all the muck and then getting away with what it isn't, what to stay away from, and just more in-depth understanding about it and how to utilize it to your advantage as an entrepreneur and as a small business owner. In our next episode, it's kind of funny because we're going from one area that really focuses on creatives and their relationships to something that really is all about creativity. This is me too. I feel this is actually where my strongest area has been working with and why I work with creatives the most. Do you consider yourself a creative thinker, or do you consider yourself more of an analytical thinker, right? So that's that old left brain, right brain kind of thinking, right? And that's the issue that a lot of people have. Oh, I'm a left brain thinker. I'm a right brain thinker. I'm a technical thinker. I'm a creative thinker, right? But if you lean too far to one side, you lean too far to the other, where you never find that middle ground, that could be a problem. That could really spell disaster for yourself, right? So in the next episode, what we're going to go over is how to find that balance, where to find, not just how, but where to find that balance, right? So you won't be that musician who says, well, I don't know nothing about business and I got screwed over by a contract. So you won't be, and when I say technical thinkers, some people think, oh, you mean with computer sciences and no. Graphic designers, computer programmers, even data scientists, they're all creatives because they create something out of nothing. So not only the musician, so you won't be that writer who gets messed over by your agents or the marketing of being an author. So you won't be that programmer, computer programmer, right? A web developer who can make fantastic websites, who can make fantastic apps, who can make great software as a services, you know, who can develop just jaw-dropping, amazing, world-changing applications, but you don't get compensated for all that beautiful hard work. Not only the compensation monetary, no. The compensation of just notoriety and people knowing what you did and what you brought to the world. We're going to go over how to find that balance as a creative thinker, technical thinker, where to find that balance, how to protect yourself in those cases, how to maximize both sides of your brain. So you're not just creating content, but not being properly compensated for it, which goes into the influencers we just talked about, right? There has to be a balance. It has to be a mutually valuable relationship. With that, guys, this has been Influencer Marketing for Startups and Small Businesses episode of the Ambition Show podcast. I've been your host, Aaron Muhammad. Thank you for joining us for another episode. Look forward to seeing you on the go round. We're going to check out right brain versus left brain and finding that balance. Better see you there. Peace.